Chapter 6. A Ride with Mr. Blue. Monday night, Sandra mustered the courage to call Laurie and see if they could set up another date to get together. She waited till after 9 to call, hoping he would be home, but Michelle answered instead. "Oh, hello, Sandra," she said. "Sorry, but Laurie's in Vancouver for a few days. Can I help you?" "I was just wondering if we could set up another time to get together," Sandra explained almost apologetically. "We're just not having any luck, are we?" Michelle laughed kindly. "Let me check our appointment book." There was a pause while Michelle walked to another place in the house and began shuffling through pages. She pondered. "Where are we now? Early May? Maybe we could do something at the beginning of June. Oh, no, I forgot. We have a wedding to go to that weekend. It's down in the Dominican, if you can believe it." Sandra listened patiently as Michelle rhymed off all the activities they had planned for every weekend in June. "We really do want to get together with you, Sandra," Michelle assured her. "It's just such a busy time of year." "It's been a busy time of year since last August," Sandra thought despondently. "I really don't know what to say," Michelle conceded at last. "I'll have to talk to Laurie when he gets back. He tends to only think of one week at a time, but we do have holidays coming up in July. Perhaps we can work out something then, maybe even at the cottage." "That would be nice," Sandra replied, trying not to sound disappointed that it was so far away and still uncertain. "So you'll get back to me then?" "I'll tell Laurie that you've called," Michelle assured her, "and I'll write a big note on the fridge to remind him to get back to you. Usually when I write things on the fridge, he remembers," she laughed. "It's that hard to remember me?" Sandra felt like crying. "Okay, I'll look forward to hearing from him. Thanks for your time." Taking Tiger into her arms, Sandra curled up by the large picture windows and stared out dismally. Other than the twinkling lights of the city, it was a black, dark night. "I feel so alone," she thought, caressing the warm, furry head that rubbed against her face. "What would I do without you, Tiger?" Tears trickled down her cheeks, and Tiger did his best to wipe them away with his rough little tongue. "After last night's talk, though," she told her cat, "I think it's possible there may be a god." "But if there is, do you think he cares about us? Do you think it's worth trying to talk to him?" Having been without a dad for as long as she could remember, a loving heavenly father was hard to imagine, and yet the idea intrigued her. A former Christian friend from high school had often referred to God in that way. Tiger was looking up at her devotedly and purring with contentment. "I don't know who else to ask for help," she told him miserably. "We're in trouble, Tiger. But if God really does exist and has this whole world in his control, like Thomas said he does, then I guess I might as well give it a try." Looking up to the stars, Sandra timidly pleaded for God's help. "I can't pay my rent this month," she told him mournfully. "I don't know how I'm ever going to make it through the summer. I might get evicted unless I find another job, and then where would I go? And my only brother, who could help me so easily, keeps forgetting that I even exist. Please, God, if you're there, please make him realize I'm a human being. Please help him to want to spend time with me. Please help me out." The first thing Sandra did Tuesday morning when she arrived at James's place was to look for a note on the computer desk. If he wasn't going to thank her for making the pie, she certainly wasn't going to make him anything else. But sure enough, there was a message. "Sandra, it was very kind of you to make that beautiful pie. Unfortunately, I have to watch my cholesterol. Had a heart bypass just over a year ago, and so I couldn't enjoy such a delicious-looking treat. I stuck it in the freezer. Please feel free to take it home with you. James. P.S. I hate to tell you this, but I spilled juice in the fridge the other day. I hope you don't mind fixing that up." "I get the raspberry pie," Sandra thought with delight. "I guess I should have told him that it was made with Bissell, not shortening. Oh well, this is my lucky day." Before beginning work, Sandra took the pie out of the freezer so it could begin to defrost. Yummy, she thought, imagining how good it would taste warmed up in the microwave. Forget the detox today. Then again, she considered reluctantly, the frozen pie still in her arms. Maybe I should tell him it's safe. After all, I used up his whole bag of raspberries and a lot of his margarine. With a sigh, she stuck the pie back in the freezer. Opening the fridge door, she had a look at the mess. Juice had spilled everywhere. Sandra had to redo the cleaning she had done the week before, and this time she didn't see anything that inspired culinary creativity. The roast was gone. Aside from a carton of milk, a new container of Bessel margarine, two apples and a package of almonds, there wasn't much there. I guess it'll be another takeout tonight, she thought, but maybe he'll have a piece of pie to go with it. She looked over at the pile of cardboard in the corner. I wonder where he goes to get healthy restaurant meals. There were a variety of boxes. Garden Trends, Eden Delights, Fresh and Fancy. Sandra didn't recognize any of the names, but then she never ate out. After everything was sparkling clean again, she wrote a message to James. James, I think the pie will be safe for you. I made it with Bessel, not shortening. Just so you know, cooking isn't work for me. It's fun. So if you'd ever like me to leave you a meal, just give me an idea of what you want to eat and leave me the ingredients to make it with. Sandra. Wednesday morning, as usual, Sandra began with an internet check on her computer to see if anyone had responded to her job applications. Tiger curled up in her lap, gently kneading his paws against her. As usual, there were no requests. It seemed that there weren't any private schools hiring for the upcoming school year, and there were no public school opportunities either, at least not for her. Ever since the principal had suggested the course on class management, there hadn't been a single call to supply. However, there were a couple of short emails from her university friends, and to her great delight, there was even an email from her brother. Hey Sandra, Michelle and I have holidays in July. We'd like to invite you for a weekend at the cottage, July 4th to the 6th. We'll take the yacht out for a spin and show you around Cape Breton. Beautiful country up there. Hope that works for you. Laurie. Yes, a whole weekend, a ride on his yacht, Sandra exclaimed ecstatically to Tiger. Until now, her brother had only ever suggested meeting for dinner at a local restaurant. This is incredible. Laurie, I forgive you everything, she said happily. She emailed back immediately. Dear Laurie, that would be amazing. Of course I'll keep that weekend free. I am so looking forward to sailing on the yacht. Thanks for thinking of such a wonderful idea. Your sister, Sandra. After a quick bowl of leftover brown rice and honey, Sandra straightened her hair and dressed for the ladies' Bible study class. She wasn't really sure what to wear, so she chose her best jeans and her favourite blue sweater. All the while, her mind was fixated on the yacht. It was a chance of a lifetime. Such an adventure would go a long way to make up for years of neglect. Oh, thank you, Laurie, she thought over again and again. Thank you so much. Unfortunately, when Sandra tried to start up her car to head to the library, the squealing sound was even worse than before. She didn't know what to do. If I take it to the auto shop, she thought, I'll be handed another bill I can't afford. As she sat there in the parking garage, watching the erratic gauges on the dashboard, there was a knock at her window. Much to her surprise, Mr. Blue stood there, in his black leather jacket and familiar reflective blue sunglasses. Sandra quickly rolled the window down. Hey there, he said with a charming smile. It sounds like you've got car troubles. Would you like me to take a look? What a nice guy, she thought, nodding appreciatively. That would be wonderful. Just pop the hood, he directed, peering in underneath the instrument panel to see if he could point out the right latch. Sandra didn't have any idea what was wrong with her car, but she did know how to pop the hood. She quickly pulled on the handle. There was a click, and the tall, good-looking man with the wavy blonde hair pushed back his sunglasses and made his way around to the front. He lifted the hood. In a minute, he was back at her window. It looks like your fan belt is going, he reported. Are your gauges stable? Sandra shook her head. They're going haywire. Leaning in with a pleasant aftershave aroma, Mr. Blue had a look for himself. I don't think your alternator is working properly, he reasoned. Do you have far to go? I'm just heading over to the library for a 10 o'clock meeting. He looked down at his watch briefly. Why don't I give you a lift, he said. If that belt goes, you won't be getting anywhere. You'd be better off to save your last run for a trip to the auto shop. I would be very grateful for a ride, she told him. There wasn't time to catch a bus, and what an opportunity. Thanks. No problems, he assured her. Turning off the squealing engine, Sandra picked up her purse and the Bible that Peter had given her. Time for a little detective work, she thought. Choice number one is giving me the perfect chance to ask a few questions. Once they were comfortably settled in the red Mustang, very comfortably settled, that is, in soft, cushioned black leather seats, Mr. Blue introduced himself. Brett Lawson, he said, extending his hand. Sandra Carrington, she smiled, reaching out to shake hands. Brett's hand was big and tanned and folded around hers in a comforting way. His real name suited him much better than Mr. Blue. You live on the fourth floor, right? Brett inquired as he backed out of the crammed garage. I think you're just down the hall from me? Yes, I've been there since August, she said, looking at him carefully. Brett had a square jawline and very Roman nose. His eyes were such a pale sapphire blue. What about you? I've lived here for the last 5 years, he told her, as they approached a major intersection, ever since the manor first opened. I love it. My brother lives a few blocks away. We both wanted to be close to the harbour. The fishing is great. A shiver ran down Sandra's spine. He has a brother, only a few blocks away. There was a pause in the conversation as Sandra tried to think of how she could ask if Brett was religious. Thankfully, when the light turned green, he set her up perfectly. So what kind of meeting are you going to at the library? I'm going to a ladies' Bible study, she told him. This is my first time. Good for you, he said approvingly. I thought you might be going to something of that nature with a Bible on your lap. I'm just getting back into it all myself. I go to a Bible study on Thursday evenings. It's great. I learn a lot. Although the pastor we have now isn't nearly as good as the one I had growing up. He's religious. Sandra's palms became sweaty. So what do you do for a living? Brett asked. They were almost to the library, so Sandra gave him the quickest version ever of her teaching woes, trying not to sound too dour about it. If you love teaching the early years, he reiterated when she was finished, I suppose that means you like teaching children how to read? I do, she exclaimed. It's so rewarding to see a child develop the ability to read. It's a precious key that opens so many doors for them. It's like helping a blind person learn to see. Brett nodded. Do you do any tutoring, one-on-one? Or would you be interested? I'd love to tutor, she told him. I've actually had an ad in the newspaper for the last few months offering my services. Well, maybe this is a lucky day for both of us, Brett smiled. My brother was just saying last night that he needed someone to help his 6-year-old son learn to read. Sandra could hardly believe it. Brett went on to explain that his nephew Matt was in a private school, but both his parents worked, and they didn't have time to help their son practice his reading at home. They feel kind of bad about it, Brett continued, pulling into the library parking lot. But when they get home from work, they just don't have the patience to sit there for half an hour while Matt stumbles over the easiest words. He paused as he stopped outside the front doors. Do you mind if I tell my brother about you? Being desperate for work, Sandra was delighted. It seemed certain that Brett was the tall, compassionate man she'd been searching for. Please do, she said. I'll give you my number. However, when she searched her purse for paper and a pen, she could only find the paper. Brett found a pen in his glove compartment. Sandra hastily scribbled down her name and number and handed it over. Great, he said, accepting the piece of paper with a grin. Hopefully this will work out. Thanks for being so willing. And by the way, he said, looking over admiringly, you probably hear this a lot, but you have the most gorgeous blue eyes. Oh, thank you, Sandra replied, somewhat taken aback by the unexpected compliment. She opened the door to get out, unsure of what to say next. It was only after Brett drove off that she remembered she should have thanked him for the ride. She waved and called out, thanks for the ride, but he was so far down the road that she doubted he heard. Sandra walked into the ladies' Bible study, dizzy with excitement. It has to be him, she thought. Brett must be the man I overheard. He's compassionate, he's religious, and he has a brother close by. This is so amazing. I hope I see him again, soon. Maybe I'll finally discover what that courtyard conversation was all about. And maybe I'll find a friend. The ladies' Bible study was a welcoming group of about 10. They met in a large conference room around a big mahogany table. Jessica was there and had saved a chair for Sandra. The lady leading the class was introduced to Sandra as Jessica's mother, Beth Simons. Looking at her closely, Sandra didn't see much resemblance between the two. Beth's short hair was completely grey, and her eyes were a dark coffee colour. "They're both tall, though," she noticed. "But then, compared to me, most people are tall." Beth introduced everyone to Sandra and told her that they were studying the Book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible. After a prayer and a reading from Revelation chapter 7, Beth led the discussion group. While Sandra could tell that it was a great class for everyone else, with lots of participation, the subject matter was too deep for her. Beth was talking about 12 tribes with strange-sounding names being sealed in their foreheads by angels. People from all nations and languages were standing in front of the Lamb, which Beth said was Jesus. "How can a lamb be Jesus?" Sandra wondered. It was even stranger when one of the ladies mentioned the bride, the lamb's wife. "This is too much," she thought. "Jesus, a lamb, is going to get married? I don't get it." Not only were the details and symbols of Revelation hard to comprehend, but Sandra kept drifting off to visions of her own, sailing on a yacht with her rich, generous brother, and riding in a red Mustang with a tall, compassionate man. As of that morning, her future seemed quite bright and exciting all on its own. It was only near the end of the class, when they read the last few verses of chapter 7, that Sandra gathered her thoughts and understood what they were reading. The verses spoke about a time when there would be no more hunger or thirst or any scorching heat, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, Jessica read. "When?" Sandra questioned eagerly, thinking, "That's an intriguing promise. Imagine no hunger and no tears ever again." "Is that what will happen when Jesus comes back?" she asked. Beth nodded happily and went on to explain that the chapter they were studying in Revelation was a glimpse into the future when Jesus will return and establish God's kingdom on the earth. She talked for a while about what that time period will be like, turning up other references which gave more detail. While Sandra was interested in what she heard, she was also confused. It was all so new. She expressed her bewilderment to Jessica when everything was over. "It was a bit deep," Jessica admitted. "Everyone in this class has been coming along for a few years." With a pause, Jessica thought carefully. "Look, if you like, I could go over the basics with you," she suggested. "We could start at the very beginning and work through things together. Just the two of us, if that's what you'd like." "That would be fantastic," Sandra said with relief. "I really don't know a thing about the Bible. I'm not even sure if I believe in God." Jessica nodded and reached for something in the back of her Bible. Producing a little pamphlet, she gave it to Sandra. "You can take this home with you," she said. "It will give you some reasons to believe the Bible is God's inspired word." Sandra took the pamphlet with interest. "Would you be more comfortable coming over to my house for a discussion, or having me come over to yours?" Jessica asked. Remembering the alternator problems she was having, Sandra wasn't sure when she'd be able to drive again. She certainly couldn't afford to fix it any time soon. "If you don't mind coming to my place, I'd be very appreciative." "Of course," Jessica said. "Would Thursday evenings be okay?" It seemed that the long, lonely weeks might be a little less lonely. Sandra was hopeful she would get to tutor Matt, and now Thursday evenings would be with Jess. "Sure, can we start tomorrow night?" "I'd love to," Jessica smiled. "And where do you live?" When Sandra explained how to get to Margaret's Manor, Jessica gave a little laugh. "Oh, I know the manor," she said. "Peter's brother lives there,"